Thank you, choir. Let's greet each other. Jesus is the Christ. You're the God's pride. Do you believe that? Today's word was titled "The God's Pride," the Daniel's Gospel Movement. I'll give you the quiz. Jesus had the full balanced education. He received this balanced education, right? You remember, right? What was the first one? But he was loved by God, right? He was loved by people. What was growing? His height and wisdom. He was loved by God. He then admitted by the people. Then he had the growth of the knowledge, and he was growing. Daniel actually received the same balanced education. Daniel 6:3. It says that the God's spirit was in Daniel. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God was going back and forth. And then after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then God said that He will send the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, it was not the Holy Spirit for everyone, but only one person God gave the Spirit. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph that I've never seen someone who was filled with the Spirit of God. And God was with Joseph. So this age, God was with who? God was with Daniel. That's how much he was actually loved by God. Then it says, after the three people, he was really loved by God, by the kings. Not only that, because everyone was so jealous of Daniel. So, but if they just tried to find something wrong with Daniel, but they couldn't find, because he was really royal with his work. Then he was really full of skill. Then that time, do you know how old he was? How old was Daniel? Do you know? He was actually 80. 80-year-old grandpa. That age, he was selected as the prime minister with the power. He was serving three different kings. Normally, they don't really hire someone who is 80 years old. Now, if you really look at someone who is like 80 years old and still working, then you feel bad about it. But Daniel still had the full of energy, full of health. So he can actually serve the kings. So he was pretty much balanced. He was loved by God, loved by people. He was a very royal person. Even though he was 80 years old, he was not weak. For the sake of the God's will, then he was having the all in. So God actually prepared this kind of person among the next generations. But if you really look at him, they had no choice but to be hated by the people. The first thing, the biggest reason, He was the light. Therefore, people in the darkness will hate him. Why? Then the darkness and the sin, they hate to be revealed. The sinners don't like the light because all the sins will be revealed. The sinners in Babylon, the people in the darkness, those are the slaves of of Satan, of course they will hate Daniel. Then how can they really defeat this kind of person? Because he is such a perfect person. That's why they thought, physically speaking, there is nothing about Daniel. Then let's use him whatever we think is something wrong with him. Daniel was very royal person. To who? To God. So that's what the non-believers will be thinking. Then the people who don't like the Daniel, because no matter what happens, Daniel will believe in God. But the people of Babylon, they really thought that it was his weakness. The people in the world will look at you. This person is the one who believes in God. Then that is your success. So the people look at Daniel and then they say that let's take advantage of the part of that Daniel that he will be just believing God no matter what. So he is not, that Daniel is not the one who's gonna have the compromise. So Satan will always have the compromise to the next generations. The Satan will teach them how to do. Well, it's important that church is important, but first academics, first friends, first club activities. Just the first fun. It's all right. You can take a day off for a week. And then they will just start making justification. You've been to church for many years. You will be going to church from now on. Just this week, take a day off. And last year, you were in the retreat. This year, you don't have to be. Yes, I went there last year. Last week, I went there. I was in the choir last week. Today, yes, I can take a day off. Then justification and compromise. Is it only the kids? Same thing with adults. So I study well and I pray well. Well, I'm just going to take a day off from the worship. God, you know that I've been doing all this in my entire life. Then I will do it from entire my family. So this week, just only this week, I'll have a family trip. So Satan will keep tempting the people to have the justification and the compromise. But Daniel, he didn't have any compromise. He didn't justify himself. How exactly was he balanced? Like this. He didn't compromise. He didn't have any justification. How was he able to serve only God? Because Daniel's faith was coming from that prayer. And from that life of prayer, he had this kind of faith. They will be always thinking of risks. Isn't there? This is the risk that I have to take if I believe in God. Something that is loss. If I really go to worship, and this is the place where I will have the loss. Oh, but on the other hand, it's a reward. It's a reward. Something, the gain. If I pray today, then he might give me the answer like this. Especially those who have the business. Of course, you have to think about the loss and the gain. What will be the loss? What will be the gain for you? What will be the benefit? Then you will think about those things and then you just try to balance out. Then without realizing, this is how we're going to have the walk of faith. We think about the loss. If I pray this, if I devote like this, if I give worship like this, this will be the loss that I might have. If I really do all this, and then God might really give me the huge answer. Daniel, he didn't really think about risks and the rewards. Of course, he would probably know all this because he is really smart. He would know the risk. He knew that if he keeps praying as usual, he will get killed. He can just satisfy himself. He can close the window. When no one is watching, then he could pray. Of course, he can do that, all the justification. He didn't really have to show to other people that he actually prayed. Or, because he's been praying, he's been serving to God for a long time. Maybe for a month, I can just take a day off. For his entire life, for 80 years, he's been serving to God. If it's for a month, he knows my heart. God knows my mind. He knows my everything. And he loves me. So I can take a month off. He could have justified himself like that. But he never thought like that. But why is that? Because Daniel really took the rules of God. Not the rules of the world. Not the rules of the people. In the eyes of God, what will be the best? That's what Daniel picked all the time. He says, as always, he had done. So when you really have this kind of scene, and you might really have, yes, I will do this, I will make a decision like this. You can always hope that I will pick God when this kind of thing really happens to me. But we can't really do that. If you don't really accumulate all these things, it's impossible for us to do. Every day, if you don't really have all the close relationship with God, when this kind of crisis happens and those things can't really happen, look at our life. Then when we have the problems, the amount of prayer will go up. Why? When you really have some kind of incidents, all the passion and all the quantity of the prayers will go up. When you receive the answers, you don't pray. But if you are not thirsty spiritually, then you're not going to call for God. You can only do Lord every single Friday. But that's us. The moment by moment, when you really have the problems, and then you can pray more, and then if with the answer you don't pray. Daniel had this very close time with God as always. Which means that he had always have the trust relationship. Because if you stay with that person more and more, you will trust them more. Then you can't really trust them if you're not with them. If you're together, if you can know that person well, and then this person will be always with me, then that's what you know. Then you don't have any relationship with this person. You never talk to this person in depth. Then I can be with right next to this person. Then you cannot really do that. Then every day you really have to have this intimate time with God through the God's word. You should really have very close relationship with God. And then one day it turned into the assurance. No matter what happens, God will not abandon me. No matter what, God will be with me all the time. Then that's what we call the assurance. Assurance of the salvation. That's what Daniel received. God will really send all the armies of angels, and that's how God can be with me. That my identity is the identity of the God's kingdom. And I will not follow the rule of the world, but rule of the God. Whenever I pray, then God will answer me for sure. For 80 years, he had all this accumulation. All the time, he had all this intimate, close relationship with God. Then the next generation should have this kind of relationship with God before they got any help from the human, from the country, from the money. There is a help that will not abandon you forever. Look at the mountain. Look at all around. And where does that help come from? The help will come from only from the Lord, who is the Savior. But the assurance will be always given through the relationship with God. So next generations, it's really important for them to have the close relationship that will be the greatest help in their lives. To Jerusalem, Daniel was praying because he was away from Jerusalem. What kind of place was Jerusalem? Jerusalem is the place where the Jesus Christ will come. Through King Solomon, all the temples were actually constructed. What did he really think about when he prayed? So Jesus Christ had really finished all the things on the cross. He really thought about that all the time when he prayed. Even if he was facing to the problems, when he had good time, then all the time he was focusing on that Jesus Christ and his gospel. And what kind of Jerusalem palace? That's the place where the God's presence. That's where the God is with them. So Daniel really prayed to Jerusalem, please be with me. It's not really like, please let me be free from the temptation. Going through this problem, please be with me. Even going through this temptation, I really hope that God will be with me. No matter what happened to me, I don't really mind. Please be with me right now. That's what Daniel actually prayed. And he even prayed for the restoration of the palace, church construction, so that people can actually restore the worship. All the captives, Israelites, they will be free from the captivity. They will go to the land where the Christ will come. Then that's what Daniel really prayed. He didn't really pray for himself. Please help me. It was not really the prayer like that. He really prayed that the Lord God was with him. Through this problem, I want to be with God. But not only me, but please help all the Israelites to be with God. And this kind of prayer, God had no choice but to answer. And moreover, he was kneeling down and he prayed. Do you know when Satan would be defeated? It's not like, in the name of Jesus Christ, am I cast away. When you really kneel down before God, and that's when the darkness will be broken down. Because if you drive out the demon, it will come back. When exactly the Satan will just give up on you? It's the time when you completely kneel down before God. Why? Then what kind of existence is Satan? Satan is the one who will switch our target of the worship. Because Satan wanna be worshipped. Then Satan will keep attacking you if you still have the small amount of probability that you can actually worship Satan. But you completely kneel down before God and you completely look up God, and Satan will realize that, oh, it's impossible for me to attack this person. I cannot really block him or her. How exactly can you kneel down before God? When you really think about, when you really discard all this loss or the risks, when you really get rid of all this gain, rewards, when you really throw all this compromise and justification, you kneel down, which means that you rely on God for everything. All your thoughts, all your direction, you are looking at God. You cannot really compare the worldly things to the God's way. What did Daniel do? He discarded everything and he only kneeled down before God. Then moreover, then he was thankful and he was praying. God, thank you for being with me under this situation. I'm thankful that I can actually pray to you. I won't be shaken by the environment. I won't be shaken by the problems. I kneel down before you, then that's how I'm thankful for. I'm really give thanksgiving to you so that under this kind of snow and weather, then I came here to give worship. You're a true worshiper. Because anyone could have just justified because of the weather. Because it's going to be dangerous for me to drive. The train will be stopped. You're here to give worship to God. That's how much you trust in God. That's what the New Year message said. God, repeat this in our day. What was the first thing? It was the prayer movement. Then Daniel really restored this prayer movement. Habakkuk 3:17-19, Habakkuk confessed the same thing. Verse 17 says, there is no fruit, and there was nothing. Then everything was all broken. Everything was all destroyed. Verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Why is that? The Sovereign Lord is my strength. Park Sung-jin, Pastor Park showed us, right, the picture of all these deers jumping. That is how the thankful people, those people who really pray, even if they're facing a huge loss, I'll be rejoiced in front of God. You should really restore this kind of thanksgiving. No matter what happened, you should really restore yourself to give thanksgiving. That's why you are the God's pride. You're rejoicing in the Lord, and that's what the God will be proud of. And for sure, these things will be delivered to the next generation. Then by looking at you, they will change their thoughts like this. I have to change my priority. Then if the next generation look at you, and then if they think I have to change my priority, then that's your success. It's not about what you do first. Then God is the ever ever victorious. And God is the one who will have the victory all over the world. That is the God is first. God is one and there is nothing. There's no answer. God is the one who has the victory over the world. Those people has the one who will have the power and strength to go against the world. It's not really about to receive the world, the culture from the world. You will rather go against the culture of the world. And that's what Daniel did. What did he prove? The Lord I believe is actually the way to better than your rules and idols. Through Daniel, God could actually prove himself that he is the true king, a true God. When the next generation look at you, so not the world, not the power, not the money, not success, but the God is much bigger. If they can see that, then that's it. But then for them, God doesn't really look big. Because through you, they can see the world. And through you, then they can actually see you being destroyed by the world. Then God doesn't really look big for them. And there's the way how you can actually change it. You should really pick God, no matter what. You always pick God. All the great things will be given to the next generations. Through my grandparents, through my parents, and through all these people who are here. But they picked God under the absolutely impossible situation. There is more a smart way. So if I really use the common sense of the world, I should have picked this way. But they never picked that one. They always picked God. And then there was the ever victorious. I've witnessed that. And then that will make me, leave me no choice but to pick God. Because you cannot deny. If I've seen, if I witnessed all the grace that God had worked upon them, then you cannot deny it. If you really pick, if you have made a choice of God, and then that will be witnessed by the next generations. And the next generation look at you, they will say, I want to pray. I have to pray. That's your success. Now, what is the characteristics of the people of prayer? There's no substitutes. There's no other answers. There's no other way. The three friends of Daniel last week, there's only God in them. In us, first God. But there are lots of different plans. Different calculations, different plans, different things underneath God. Those who pray, they have no other way. There is only one answer. Only God. Hebrews 4:16. So let's go to all the place of grace boldly. Don't be embarrassed, because there is no other way. Then we will always make a decision. Then it will be the attitude to really have complete trust. Do you know why you'll be discouraged? because you trusted yourself so much. You trusted yourself so much and you'll be discouraged by you. There's no need for the people who really trust in God. Those people who trust in God completely, they have no discouragement. Why? Because God is perfect, complete, and He has all the sovereignty. There's nothing that you can be discouraged by. You pray, but you're discouraged because you trusted yourself somewhere. Because you still have your own thoughts. And there's some of your own effort, then you still kind of hope that there's that you can do something. You have to discard it. You have to trust in only God. Daniel 6. Then he came out from the lion's den. Then there was the reason. Daniel trusted God. Those who really trusted God will be the one who have the victory. This influence had been come to us. Then someone who really have the trust in God and then can actually influence the thousands of years. Daniel didn't have any guarantee that he will not die. For Paul, angel came to Paul and the angel said, "You will not die, you will go to Rome." So he actually had all the guarantee that he will not die. To Daniel, that there was no guarantee like that. But then Daniel didn't pray to save him. Why? Because he really believed in the God's sovereignty. If I live, it's God's sovereignty. If I die, it's still in the God's sovereignty. Because I could live and survive, and then it's God's sovereignty. And if I die, then there's no the sovereignty of God. It doesn't really matter even if I live or die, there's God's sovereignty. That's how much that God, Daniel actually had the trust relationship. And especially living in Japan, this thinking about risks and rewards, it's really huge. The rule of the world is pretty much very different from the rules of the walk of faith. God's rule is really simple. You believe in Jesus Christ, then you'll be saved. Then that faith had been given to you by the grace. That's why you have to go to the place of grace every day. You really have to seek and look for the grace of God. Because if you seek, and then it will be given. I bless all of you to be victorious in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Grab hold of the covenant from first and second service today. Just like how it was declared, please lead us. As like Daniel, as we are able to grab hold of the covenant that will not be shaken. Let's be able to declare and then declare the word of the covenant. And let's pray with the thanksgiving.